Buddy, Natalie Cummins Live, Spirit and Coffee, got my coffee here. Okay, so we're just waiting for, have a guest on today, on the Podbean. And it's an individual. She is a author, right? A book author. And she'll be getting on hopefully soon. We'll see how it works out. It's always, it seems a little bit crazy when we're trying to get on. So I've been out, I'll wait a little bit. I've been out of commission for a little bit. Haven't been feeling well. And so I haven't been getting on here. You can see my hair is a mess. Health issues, right? The body is such a hard thing to maneuver our vessel, right? To understand it, to know it, to come to take care of it, and how we take care of it and how we maneuver through it. It's not an easy thing. And we bump up against some, you know, issues, health issues eventually. We all decay, right? Nobody's immortal, at least in this body. So there you go. And so hopefully she gets on here. Let me see here. I don't think I can. I know what I can do. Let me get on here. I'll try to get on and see if I can get her on. Hold on one second. Hey, Quad D, what's up? Waiting for a friend to come in. She's supposed to do the podcast, and so I'm trying to figure out how to get her on here at this point. Let's see. Facebook. How have you been, Quad D? What's new with you? Are you driving again? So, let's see here. So, so I've been out sick, and it's just been a crazy whirlwind of a ride. Good. How are you? J.A. Let's see. Let me see if I can do it this way. Hold on, guys. Try something real quick, and I don't know if it'll work. Resume. There we go. Okay, well, I said that I was on. Let's see if she comes on. I'm doing great, Quad D. I haven't been on for a couple of days, just not been feeling well, and had some medical issues and ended up in the urgent care, it was an urgent care / ER, which they ended up transferring me over to the ER to take a look at what's been going on. And so part of what's going on with me is endometriosis and craziness, woman stuff. And in fact, that's what Jacqueline will be talking about. So she should be on. I just see her. Hey, Jacqueline. So if you want to call in, I can go ahead and add you to the podcast. She's going to be talking about My Pink Window, which is a book that she wrote, which is amazing. And so that this is it here. And I know that's showing up backwards on Facebook. And let me invite her. And there she is. Connected. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning. There you are. Yay. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a nice sunny day here in Georgia.
Oh, good. Yeah, I guess it's always sunny in New Mexico. Yeah. It seems to always be sunny here. Awesome. So I'll introduce you. And so I've never had a guest on here like this, but we're super excited to have you on the podcast. I tried to skim over your book, as you know. So if you guys don't know, Jacqueline and I are part of the Consciousness Transformative Studies Master's Program, and that program has a ton of reading that we have to do. And I bought her book and I'm like, I don't even think I could get it in at this point. So this morning I was trying to kind of look over it. And I'm like, oh, maybe in the window where we have a little break between courses, which my last course ends, I guess, in a couple of weeks, then I'll have maybe a week to get it in. But I did was able to skim it. So, I do have an opening statement, a kind of a bio for Jacqueline. Jackie is Northern Virginia native, and she graduated. And wow, I don't know, Oglethorpe. How do you say that? Oglethorpe. Oh, that's a cool name. University here in Atlanta, and is currently attending John F. Kennedy JFK University. To receive her master's in consciousness and transformative studies, as I said before. And then she's also a certified life coach through John Maxwell team, which I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. I was reading that yesterday. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And focuses on communication and empowerment of women. And she's a speaker and author, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a 2-time breast cancer champion, which that's what we're gonna talk about today, and various other stuff. As long as you can stay on, we can chat. After her second encounter with breast cancer, experiencing a well-supported return to the workplace, along with the routine and stress where were not forgiven for her health mentally or physically, nor did her job responsibilities provide her the inner peace, passion, or personal fulfillment she needed. Having dreams and goals of her own and living with uncertainty and fear of whether cancer would return, she made deliberate decision to change her mindset from thinking she was damaged goods to learning to accept herself, which is beautiful. Leaning on her spiritual guidance and embracing her marks of courage and strength, Jacqueline is dedicated to helping others achieve the same freedom, confidence, self-compassion, and truth. And I absolutely love that. It's like taking the reins of your own life back and saying, I have the power, which is what Spirit and Coffee is about, how we reclaim our power in the world. So I'll give you some time to speak. I know there's some questions, so go ahead and just tell us about your book, and just give us some insight as to what your book is about.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. My book is called My Pink Window, A Reflection of Self-Love and Acceptance. And it's about my journey as a 2-time breast cancer champion. Excuse me. I share how I went from thinking I was damaged goods to accepting who I am. After breast cancer, lumps, bumps, nooks, crannies, everything. I share my experience of how making deliberate decisions, tools, strategies, helped me live life with expectancy and enthusiasm, because during that whole scenario, that season, I started looking at my life differently and expecting things to happen, and woke up, you know, expecting miracles. So it's also about how I regain my self-worth and confidence in my new body. You know, they always talk about, you know, your new normal, but what is normal when you really think about it? So I had to get more confidence in my new body, make deliberate decisions to move forward with my dreams and goals that I left behind while healing from the disease. The book is also about just a couple of things growing up that we all face. Especially women, you know, those things stay with us and affect how we live in our present state. So I do talk a little bit about that. Not everything about my life, because that would be impossible right now, but just a few things that I think women would connect with.
Awesome. So, okay, I was reading this morning, and this is something that I've kind of thought about in my own brain. I don't know if this is how you feel, but I know that you said you're a tomboy. And I read that And it's kind of funny because that's how I felt growing up, right? Yeah. That, you know, I was a tomboy, you know, I didn't, and I don't know if that was, so here's the deal. Tomboy was a label given to me because I wasn't girly, right? And sometimes I wonder, because I have a lot of problems with my uterus, and it's kind of funny because I just got admitted into urgent care like 2 days ago. And I have a lot of complications, and I almost wonder if it's like some denial of that part of our body that might cause, like, did you, in your recovery, did that, was that part of your conversation of like maybe just really embracing your womanhood? Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I grew up a tomboy because I just, you know, back in the day, you know, a tomboy was rough and tough and, you know, just wanted to enjoy being active, you know, and I love being athletic, you know. I was usually the only girl among the guys. I was a guy's girl, or one of the guys. But yes, when I had breast cancer, you know, it feels like an infection. It does feel like, you know, you're damaged goods because, you know, what you currently experiencing is not what you expect, you know, and you're more embracing, you're more protective, I would say, about your femininity.
Yeah, I could see that because you talked about, so I know I was reading, like I told you, I read, skimmed some of it, and you were talking about, you know, blooming early, and yes. We are the same, sister. But I think in New Mexico, our cha-chas are big, a lot bigger. I call us the chichonas, which means big boobies, right? That's what we are here. Growing up, and so yeah, the identity that we have as women went through our breasts, through our uterus, through being able to carry life, feeling like you said, feeling like damaged goods. So tell me, like, what was the mind, like, what changed your mindset? How did you change your mindset? What allowed you to do that?
Wow, it took a long time. Let me just go back if I can.
Sure, absolutely.
The first time that I encountered, you know, breast cancer, and that was in 2005, and I was so stressed out. I was in corporate America, and I was stressed out. I wasn't taking care of myself, and I wasn't eating right. I was a type A personality at that point, you know, so what corporate America does to us. So just trying to keep, I guess, my head above ground and make sure I got everything together, you know, my job, family, you know, never had time for myself, although, you know, we're supposed to take time for ourselves, but I just didn't. So yeah, breast cancer came. I was a stage one. Because I always got my mammograms and my sonograms, because for, you know, women, we have dense breasts, or women with dense breasts need to get our mammogram and sonogram. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. They found it early, so a stage one. And I'm going to be very candid and just very open because my book is, you know, I had a lumpectomy. And I didn't take as bad. I'm like, okay, I still have my breath. I have still, you know, both of my breaths. But the second time, and I went through it, it wasn't easy. I will say that it's not easy because they are, you know, your breaths are part of your community. That's the most, I'm going to say, intimate part of your body. The second time was much worse because I had a mastectomy. I had a tram flap. So that is part of your stomach. And really forming it into a part of the breast.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was traumatic. When my surgeon or doctor said, you know, you're going to have to you know, have a mastectomy. I was shocked. I could not speak. I felt like I was going to just faint right there.
Yes.
And here I am going up there and saying, okay, like I'm ordering coffee, right? I'll have another lumpectomy and a reduction in my right breast. You know, I'm just like I'm ordering a cup of coffee. And she says, no, you can't do that. You can't have that radiation in the same breast. So, you know, the thing of getting my mindset straight to move on, us being vulnerable, you know, we do so many things and we have to keep up this image of being really, really strong and conquering everybody else's problems except our own. So when it came to really looking at myself and what I needed to do to live my life fully, I needed to make changes. So it was a lot of being vulnerable was hard to do. And just really deciding what I was going to accept and what I wasn't going to accept in my life anymore.
That's awesome. And so, and here's the deal, and this is kind of, and of course, it's just theory. Natalie's theories all the time. I have theories. the theory of like how, so we do live in this patriarchal sort of system. And I always try to look at like, well, what's the root of it, right? And you said you were in corporate America, which is based on patriarchy, right? Not a bad thing, not to talk that it's right, wrong, good, or bad. It just is. That's the way the system is designed. However, that system isn't necessarily made for women and our cycles, because we are, you know, we have cycles. We have, you know, and it becomes very, very focused and almost to the point, like you said, where you're not taking care of yourself, you're not nurturing yourself, right? Which is like very feminine qualities, to nurture yourself, to eat healthy, to have time out, to rest, to relax, to, you know, that I think we all need a little bit of that. And I think that's a big, that's one of the big problems, right, with corporate America, is that there's not enough time to allow yourself to nurture and pamper yourself and treat yourself with that loving kindness. So now how do you feel about that? Are you still in corporate America? Are you, how did you switch that, or did you switch that within your life?
No, I did go back. My, you know, you only get a certain amount of time. And when you're working like that, and I'm just going to say in any job, but it's, I'm in corporate America, so, you know, that's what I know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So you only get a certain amount of weeks that you can leave for, you know, have medical leave. So I left because my husband actually told me to. He took me to dinner one day, and we always have date nights. So on this date night, he took me to this nice, quaint restaurant, and he said, I have to tell you something. And, you know, of course, I'm thinking it's something bad. So he says, I have to be obedient. And he went on to tell me that a week before, the week prior, let me take it back. Talking about spirituality. Mm-hmm. He said that he has to be obedient in doing what he needs to do. And that was to tell me to leave the job, or the job was going to kill me.
Wow.
So, yes. So he went ahead and I was very skeptical, because we are two income family. And I had to make sure that he was not joking with me, that I could really leave, you know, before I start, you know, I have in my, you know, I needed to make sure that this was real before I started, you know, stepping on top of the table in my 3-inch stilettos and celebrating.
Right. Yeah. You didn't want to put the cart before the horse, right?
But yeah, I left America. There wasn't anything that anything that they were concerned. I mean, my thing was, if I leave or if they fire me, which, I mean, they didn't fire me, but, you know, if I left or if something were to happen to me, they would give me a card, they would send flowers to my family, and they would put someone else in that position Monday morning.
Yep. And that's the reality of it, right? So then we reclaim our health, which good for him. You have that's what an awesome husband to recognize that and to see the value in you and recognize that it's not about the money or, you know, about whatever material, but that you are this divine creature, being soul, and that's what's important is your health and your well-being.
Yeah.
So kudos to him and kudos for you for stepping away. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and it wasn't hard to step away because, you know, when you sit down and you really think about what your purpose is in life, mm-hmm. it's not sitting at a desk all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
And mm-hmm. I took this position, knowing that it's not where I was supposed to be.
Right.
And you know, everything that I did within corporate, it was for the money. It wasn't for my well-being, you know. And when you sit at a desk or accept a position and you sit at the desk and you're looking out of the window and something tells you, you know, or your inner being tells you, you know, you're not supposed to be here. And without a blink, you're agreeing like, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm here, you know? So what does that tell you?
Yeah. And I think that oftentimes people don't listen to that out of fear, right? Cause there was a little bit of fear for you too. Like, can we do this without my other income? You know, what's possible? And isn't it really interesting how once you make the choice, right? And this is what I tell my listeners all the time. Once you make that choice, right, and you trust and you surrender, isn't it interesting how things always just work out?
They do work. I will be a witness to that. When you make a deliberate decision to do something, to change your life, to change your mindset, to move forward, everything works in your best interest. It really does. It just flows because you're doing what you're supposed to do and you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, it's almost like stepping out and like, I'm ready to conquer the world, right? It's yeah. Like, nothing's going to stop me now, especially after going through, you know, breast cancer not once, but twice,
yes.
You know, and overcoming. That's like, that's warrior status. Like there's different warriors, I feel like, in this world. Like some people that overcome addiction, right? Those are warriors. People that overcome some really, really chronic disease or cancer survivors or whatever it is, warriors, because you're shifting the entire dynamic of your mindset. It's not just, I mean, if someone said, and it's funny because in the CTS program, which is kind of crazy, we went through this just recently with our integral life practices class, where we had to think what happened if we were to die. Like we got it, you know, we had a chance to think about our death and like, but you were like faced with the possibility of that because cancer, I mean, when you think cancer, people tend to think the worst thing, right? They're just like, What does that mean for my life, right?
Yeah,
and then you have to, and then going through it again with this practice, I'm sure that for you, it's like life is too short.
Yeah,
like I have things that I got to get done, and one of the things is your book, and then getting your book out, and then other things that you're doing in your life. So tell me what it triggered for you in terms of your life purpose after all that.
You know, and this is, and when you don't do what you're supposed to do or what you know you're supposed to do, then you do face consequences. And I don't mean like, you know, jail, but I'm talking about your spiritual self.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a spiritual person. I've always known what I'm supposed to do. And it's the fear, although we are not to fear anything, but society really trains you to be fearful of everything. You know, of moving forward. So for me, going through that has really defined what I am supposed to do with quickness. It really is, because you don't know when things are going to happen. And like I said earlier, if you don't have your health, you really don't have anything. You don't. And, you know, you have to make sure that your well-being is taken care of. You have to nurture yourself. You know, it's about embracing yourself. And that's what I had to do. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm challenging myself. I'm, you know, bringing awareness to what I really am here to do. And of course, everybody is here on this earth to learn to love each other. You know, that's the process. And we're not doing a very good job of it. But
I know we could just be like Care Bear Land and just hug each other. That would be nice.
But yeah, it made me realize that certain things are not important. It makes you really realize what matters in your life and who matters in your life, you know, mm-hmm. the relationships that you have, you know. So that's where I am right now, is making sure that I help others, that my relationships are great, that, you know, I really embrace life. You know, I get up every morning and I pray, I do meditation. I then get up and I walk in nature every morning, 4 miles a day. And I just feel so good about myself. You know, not everyone can do that. You know, not everyone can work from home. You know, not everyone has the privilege or the opportunity to do what they want to do and not be fearful of it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's about taking authority, you know, knowing your truth, and just trusting and believing.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big thing you said, like, not everybody could do it out of fear that they can't do it, because they have the potential to do it. They just, some people won't do it because they're afraid, and that's where the surrender vulnerability comes in. And also, I want to just kind of touch on the fact that you said take care of your body, right? It feels like you're preaching to me, because I just, like, I'm a doer, right? Go, 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 go. That's the kind of people, you know, I think we are, you know. And I think it's crazy because we have all these powerful women that are, you know, sort of rising to leadership. And I feel like our drive and our stamina and our momentum is beyond belief. But then at what cost, right? What consequence? You even talked about consequences before. And where are the consequences in your health? Because that's what ends up happening, right? Is health goes first. And that's what I've noticed, even in the corporate world, not just for women, but men alike, right? That there's not this room for nurturing, because that's not the business model. The business model doesn't incorporate nurturing and caring for yourself. That's not a typical model. It's more like gains, right? Like, we got to have more money, more gains, more, and it's very numbers driven. And it forgets and takes out the idea that we're human and that we're part of this structure. So how do you nurture yourself? How do you put that into it? And so for those of you on the podcast that are like, yeah, I'm in a job and maybe I am afraid, it's okay if you're afraid, but how are you taking care of yourself, right? There's still things that you can do. Like you said, your job's not going to care. They don't give two shits about whether you live or die. They're caring about their bottom line. Now, people in your job, yeah, they might care. They're going to care, right? If you're good friends or whatnot. But the organization itself wasn't designed to care. It's an organization. It's a corporation, which is a dead entity. It's a dead entity. It's not a feeling thing. And so when we look at it from that perspective, it's like, what do we do to nurture ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to take a time out, to make sure that we are... No one's going to do it for us. I mean, you're very fortunate to have a husband who said, oh, no, this isn't good. And then I care enough about you. But not everybody has that, right? Not everybody has that person outside saying, you need to stop doing this. Like, you just need to get out of it. Sometimes it's like we have to tell ourselves, you know, we have to take responsibility. Yes, Swan. Have a good day. But I appreciate that, right? I appreciate the fact that you, you know, you're saying, I'm taking back my courage, my strength, you know, and not living in the fear of, you know, the fact that I know I'm going to be taken care of and being able to take yourself out of the situation. And I think that's the big piece right there. The big takeaway is, how do we either cultivate a win-win situation within our current dynamics, which would be working plus, you know, taking care of ourselves, or how do we pull ourselves out of that situation so that we don't have to go through it, right?
Right.
So we always talk
about how, you know, what is our purpose? You know, we always ask ourselves, we don't know what's going on, you know, we're going to find ourselves, you know, and a lot of times what is given to us in our purpose is when we're children. You know, remember when we were children, we didn't fear anything. We did everything. And, you know, we were so optimistic and ready to take that journey and that risk, regardless of what it was. But as we grow, you know, as we get older and grow up, then something changes. You know, we become, you know, just very different. You know, we do.
It's called parents. It's called programming.
Yes, it is. But I wanted to read something, if I could, just read a portion of my book.
Absolutely.
I'm not bashing America. America is great. You know, gives a great income. You have benefits. You define your skills. You work with great people. You know, but this is something that I read. No, because I had been in it for 30 years and enough. It's like, enough is enough. I need to concentrate on what I really want to do, because we are really building other people's dreams and not our own.
Amen.
So I'm just going to read this. July 29, 2016 was my last day waking up to my iPhone's owl ringtone at 5 a.m. of feeling paralyzed from presenting new ideas to closed-minded individuals and of giving my all to build someone else's dream. Although grateful for the opportunities I was given, I didn't want to sit at a desk all day. I didn't want to get permission to go on vacation. I didn't want permission to take my mother to the doctor, and I didn't want permission to go to my own doctor. I didn't want to stay at work late because of someone else's inability to meet a deadline, and I had no desire to drive through traffic for an hour to get to my office downtown. What I really wanted was to be excited about getting up in the morning and starting a fresh new day. I wanted to feel a sense of accomplishment and help others discover a sense of passion. I wanted to do what made me happy, which meant using the talents God gave me instead of pushing them to the side again. You see, during this season of my life, as I knew it, it came to a screeching halt. And at the same time, unknowingly, it moved me closer to where I needed to be spiritually, mentally, physically, and professionally. No one ever has cancer. We are living our lives, making plans, enjoying our friends and family, realizing God's gifts, and enjoying Mother Earth. I will say, because of this unwelcome disease, I was required to engage in a quiet pause, also to wake up and pay attention, not only allowed me to slow down, but also forced me to take some time to establish a connection between who I was and who I was becoming. As hard as it was, I was determined to show up to participate in life. I showed up because there was more I was supposed to do, give and have. I showed up because I get what I wanted. Because to get what I wanted and to enjoy the life my husband and I had planned, I had to be strong enough to look beyond where I was at the moment. I had to endure the work through the pain of this disease, although it revealed how vulnerable I was. I had to disregard fear, perhaps not accomplish my heart's desire, but most of all, as my mother always told me, I had to keep going regardless of the mountains ahead of me. I had no other choice but to keep climbing and pushing forward. So, you know, when you are confronted with any type of hardship or disease, you really have to look at moving forward. You know, there's so much more that you have to do out there. You have to realize where you are right now. You have to, it's not where you, it's not where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. You have to look beyond that.
Absolutely. And I think it's that understanding that I don't need permission. I like that part, because I'm like, I'm one of those people, like, I don't want permission, someone to give me permission to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
When you're living your life on purpose or with intention, you're not asking for somebody to give you permission. you're doing it from a place of power and empowerment, right? And like, I get to live my life to the fullest. And I thought about this the other day too, which was, you know, crazy. Like you said, thinking forward, just with that thing that we did in the ILP class, you know, and I do this. I used to do this when I was little, think about my death. I mean, that's something I've always done. And I think that's why I've always lived my life to the fullest, because I realized really early on that our bodies are not permanent. We will decay. That's a part of life. Death is a part of life. It is. Now, we know this. So I always say time is the most valuable gift we have, and what we do with it is so critical, so important.
Yeah.
And who we spend it with, and how we, what we're paying attention to, and how we're, you know, sort of constructing our life, our day, or whatever. And so when I looked at it, I was like, wow, thinking again, like, am I truly living my life on passion? You know, am I living it to the fullest? Am I leaving it all on the field? And that's something that we do. And like when I took my coaching, it's like leaving it all out on the field. Right. Like there's nothing left, right? I've given it my all. I've done everything that I could, you know. There's actually a song by Beyonce that I love, right? And it's called I Was Here. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that song makes me cry. I've played it for people. Like I'm like, okay, sit in a circle. I've done like these exercises and then I meditate and then I have them close their eyes and think about their purpose. And then that song just brings everybody to tears because it's like, what did you leave? What was your legacy? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've got to move forward. If we stay stuck in the past, we're using our time to be stuck
right
in the past. We're not creating and fully developing our divine sacred purpose that everybody has. We all have one. and so it's, I mean, it's oftentimes it's the people that actually go through these very critical things where they start to realize how precious life is, right? It's like, oh my God, my life could be taken at any moment, you know? And I think if we sat down and thought about it, you know, we don't know. We don't know when our time is up, right? We don't know.
Right. We don't.
And if we thought every day we got up thinking, God, this could be my last day, I mean, we would live it differently. We would. We just would. Mm-hmm. If someone gave you a time and a day, right, and said, this is it, this is the time and the day, you know, and they're like, are you have a week, right? You're going to be living your life a lot differently than just taking it for granted. And that's the beauty, right? It's like the secret sauce, I call it forgiveness, gratitude, and then love, right?
Yes.
When we forgive, then we are grateful for the world, and then we love. But you had to go through this big, or you went through this big, crazy whirlwind. And then finally you recognize, like, I don't need to ask permission to go take my mom or go to the doctor, or why should I have to ask for permission?
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to take my life back. That's super empowering. That's, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. That I mean, that's the thing, because, you know, one of the things that I really treasure is the fact that, you know, we all have dreams, y'all have opportunities, you know, and when I say my pink window, it's not my pink window, but it's also, what is your pink window? Because it represents opportunity, you know, dreams, passion, freedom, strength, you know, hope and love. You know, it's an awareness of the experiences that make us examine ourselves and force us to be vulnerable enough to look within, you know, for a deeper truth, guidance, you know, and our dreams and beauty. So it's like it's within this window, you know, that we allow ourselves to be brutally honest with who we are and allow ourselves to be open to the changes that we want to see, you know, and need to make to move forward.
Yes. I love that. Brutally honest. Mm-hmm. That's a hard one for some, you know, to be brutally honest, but it's a huge sticky point for a lot of people, right? Like, to be brutally honest with, you know, your shadow and your light, right? Not just the good parts of you, but the parts of you that, you know, maybe you are latent, hidden, that you don't want to express, that you don't want to accept.
Right.
You know, it's all of you. it's the all embodying you and the feedback that we get. Now that right there seems to be the part where it's hard for a lot of people, like to get that feedback where, you know, we aren't perfect. We right. aren't perfect, but we're also all not perfect, which makes it nice because now we can have compassion for one another to recognize that, yeah, we all have a shadow.
Yes.
We all have those parts of us, but that doesn't, I mean, it's part of who we are, but it's not fully who we are either. And then we can move forward. So I often talk about like with the shadow work, Jacqueline, what I tell people is being able to, with the spiritual alchemy part of it, is being able to transmute that energy into something powerful. So working, and it sounds like that's something that you were able to do, is take that darkness, whatever it was, and then you were able to sort of shift it into something that was your calling, your purpose.
Yes.
You know, you wrote a book, right? That's part of it.
Yes. I wrote a book, and actually, you know, I'm a very private person, and that book was very therapeutic. You know, when I'm trying to think back now, because when I'm going through that, it was like, wow, you know, such relief in, you know, getting a pillow and just screaming into a pillow. I found very therapeutic, you know, when I was going mm-hmm. through this, you know, but then I also have that, you know, when you have that window, when you're thinking that, you know, you have this enlightenment, I'll say, you know, it like opens long enough for you to make the decision to kind of discard those dark emotions, mm-hmm. you know, that unhealthy chatter, the negative beliefs, you know, unpacking the luggage you've carried around for so long, you know, you know, so that you can feel lighter and, you know, and own a sense of peace, you know, and, you know, we all have that luggage that we just then store it, you know, those stories back there that we just keep reiterating, and they don't serve us anymore.
No, you know,
but we keep bringing it to the present, and it's no longer, and should not no longer be an issue, but we do bring it, you know, maybe in a different form, you know, but we do tend to bring the past to our present, which affects everything else.
Yes. And I call that like the pattern, like living in the pattern, right? It's like our patterns repeat themselves until we're able to really look at them. And recently, which is kind of cool, I've been working with fire energy, and there was a couple of people who showed up to talk about the seventh ray and what that means. And I think Saint Germain was part of that, and Patreon lady, I can't remember what her name was. Anyway, that these particular characters were the sacred holders of the sacred violet flame or the seventh ray, which allows you to burn up and transmute that energy into something else, right? That you let it go and that you allow it to burn up. And it's, I mean, there's rituals that we do with that. Like we write down, like you said, you put it in a book, right? That's a ritual. It's like being able to let it out, put it on paper, let it go. Some people will do writing on a paper, all this stuff, and then burn it up, right? Or they'll bury it, or they'll, you know, they do these things to let it go. And I think that we've stopped that as a culture, right? We've stopped doing that, those kind of things to let go of past. We have Burning Man, I guess, and we have Zozobra here in New Mexico. If you ever want to come down during that time, they burn this big giant thing, and that's really what it's about. It's that symbolism of burning away the past, the things right. that don't right. serve you, and burn it away so that it opens up the space for something new. It's the Phoenix, too. It's the Phoenix story, right? The Rise of the Phoenix, where we burn away all this stuff to birth something new. And then we open up the space for new things to arise.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, in my, going through, you know, these two seasons of breast cancer, and it's still hard to say, you know, when you say breast cancer, people, they don't know what to say. So it's like, you kind of want to avoid the awkwardness, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I didn't tell a lot of people. I told maybe two people, actually three people. But, you know, after this whole thing and after just really deciding this is my life. This is what I have to do. You know, I had to get real. You know, I had to get deep. I had to take off the mask that we all wear, you know, that covered the part of me that I didn't like, which meant looking at the many pieces of me that even, you know, I unknowingly concealed from myself, because we do that. You know, it was time to really complete a self-examination of myself, you know, my heart, body, mind, you know, and figure out how to move from where I was to where I wanted to be. And that was the whole thing, you know, because I have so much more to give, and I wasn't going to let that stop me.
That's so awesome. That's beautiful that you recognize it. And I think that's what the listeners, you know, with Spirit and Coffee, it's what I talk about. You guys have this divine purpose, this divine right, this thing that you get to, this legacy that you get to leave behind, right? People don't come to this podcast to be completely entertained with, you know, it's very deep work all the time, right? All these conversations are deep, 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 deep. You come here to remember that you are enough, that you are powerful, that you guys have a divine purpose, that you get to wake up every day and remember that, and that you have a gift to offer the world. But if we're sleeping and we slumber and we forget, you know, that's okay too, but that's what we're here to do, is remind you. We have these people in the world like Jacqueline, who's gone through all this stuff, to say, hey, yeah, you can go through a life of hell and torture and pain and all this stuff, but you can still rise above it, and you could still burn all that shit away and rise from the ashes into your power. And right. That's your divine right. It's your divine purpose. It's yours. When you were born, that was your gift. You know, you don't need to let somebody take that away from you, you know, unless you want to. I mean, it's a choice too. You've got to choose it. Right? You chose, right?
I chose. Yeah,
you chose it, and you chose it boldly. And there's times that you question, right? You're like, wait, am I supposed to be doing this? God help me, right? Like, show me a sign. Give me a sign. What am I supposed to do here?
Right, exactly. And, you know, you're talking about empowerment. You know, how do we empower ourselves to take control of our lives again after giving it away, you know, to so, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How do we do that? And then, you know, I think that sometimes we need to be reminded of our tenacity, unwavering tenacity, you know, our dedication and our brilliance, you know, because, you know, we as women are born with a sense of power that makes us stronger than we think, you know, so we have to come out.
Yes, I agree. And reclaim our power. That's the big piece. It's just reclaim it. That's it. It's almost like, so there's a story in my life, right, where it was like a space was being occupied by a person. Okay, I'm not going to say names and all this stuff, but the story goes, this space was being occupied by a person, and the other person, it was their space, but they didn't have the ability, or they didn't feel like they had the ability to rise up and reclaim their space. And my feedback was, reclaim it. When you boldly stand up and you reclaim your space, that energy will automatically leave.
Right.
So we've got to vocalize it. We've got to stand up and we've got to speak, you know, and it's not easy. Trust me. I have all my stories with corporate America and me acting crazy and speaking up, and, you know, because I'm a woman, a Latina, you know, then we can get into all of that kind of stuff where, you know, we're in a society that doesn't really cultivate diversity, quote unquote. I hate that word, but it's okay. We're going to use it for now. Diversity, yeah. Really, you know, it's like, oh, be quiet, be just listen. And it's like, no, I have something to say and you're going to listen. And if you don't, that's fine. But I'm reclaiming my voice, you know, because I don't see things the way that maybe everybody does. And I don't need to go with groupthink. I don't need to do what everybody's telling me to do. So I'm the little rebel, I think, in most cases. Stirring the pot, you know. But but that's because we get to boldly reclaim our power. We are powerful. And we're using it for good things. I mean, what a beautiful way to share your gift, right? Through a book, through having people who maybe have experienced cancer for them to relate to what it might be like for people who are maybe not even breast cancer, but just any kind of disease to say, hey, I don't have to live in the past. Yeah. I don't have to ascribe to what everybody thinks. I can actually reclaim my life and live it boldly and powerfully and, you know, do life coaching and do continue writing books. And I just think that that's amazing.
Yeah. You don't have to have a disease. You know, you can have a bad past that you keep bringing up that holds you back. Holds you back or just makes you think, you know, and, you know, everybody goes through trials and tribulations. You know, we all do.
Yes.
So it's a thing of how do you, have, you know, what is your mindset? You know, during this whole thing, you know, I acquired a great appreciation for beauty of life and death. You know, I regained a sense of self-worth. You know, I feel like I'm more patient with people. And I was being forced to slow down or stop to, you know, get what I was accomplishing. You know, and because of my why, you know, I actually learned to let other people love me and help me where I was so strong and, you know, had to be, you know, the superhuman, you know, woman, you know, that we had to be, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have to take anything for granted. And for some reason, it has made me more outspoken and audacious, I would say. You know, trials and tribulations are always going to be in our lives, but they come with a purpose and a reward.
Yeah, oh, I'd love that. A purpose and a reward. You're absolutely right. And sometimes the greatest rewards, right, are the hardest trials that we go through, right? It's like sometimes the struggles and the battles are some of our greatest teachers. And I think people are starting to wake up to this and recognize it and realize like, oh, it's okay that I'm going through this hardship because at the end, and so in alchemy or in tarot, what they call it is a tower event. And the tower event is like, if you looked at the card itself, it's a bunch of people falling out of the flames of a tower. I mean, it looks terrible. But as a reader and as an understanding of the alchemic process, when you look at the tower, you're excited in a way because you know that after the tower falls, that your star comes. Like that's the next card. And the next card is your greatest wish. And sometimes we have to really just take apart the foundation of who we are. And that's painful. It's not fun. It's not going to be, right? But it breaks apart. Everything could crumble to the ground, right? And then now, but what's next is this new space for you to build something new, maybe more sturdy. Maybe your foundation wasn't as sturdy as it should have been, or maybe it wasn't, you know, really sitting on the principles that you are your morals in life. And you weren't living your integrity. So whatever reason, right? But the tower itself does come tumbling down. And it's going to. That's part of the process, right? At least in this three-dimensional time space. I mean, what we know. And it's that, like you said, you built up a new understanding of, you know, patience with people, which is that's beautiful. Look at what you drew out of it. You drew something that allowed you to maybe be more vocal, like you said. Now you're maybe able to speak up, but not from a place of anger or frustration, but a place of love and kindness, right? And then passion as well, right? So there's still that fire there, which is, yeah, so you rip it apart and you rebuild. And there's new things that you learn, life lessons, like patience is a huge one. That's like a beautiful thing. Patience is a hard one.
it is. You know, we put so many things on the back burner. You know, we all have great ideas, you know, that we just kind of put away, you know. And that's what I want women to realize is that, you know, it's time to just regain what you left behind, you know, pick up where you left off and just continue to move forward, you know. So, you know, it's the thing of just focusing on what, you know, well, not focusing on what is, on where you are right now, you know, because the what is, it's what gets in the way of experiencing what's out there for us. You know, when you're thinking that you're this is what's happening to us right now, you know, but think ahead, think a little ahead. And sometimes it's hard to do, but that's what you have to do.
That's right. I think so. My dad used to always tell me to think ahead. Like the way my dad would do it is he would say, okay, mija, this is my dad. He'd say, I want you to really think about it. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Think about it. Like, where do you, so, and he used to have me kind of visualize, and this was kind of cool of my dad, you know, like he was a pretty cool dude. Little crazy, I'm not gonna lie, but he had these really cool features about him. And that was one of them where it was like, he would always tell me, you know, just think about it in 5 years. Where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? So I would do these visualizations of like, well, where do I want to be in 5 years? What would my life look like in 5 years? What, you know, and then he's like, and then you're going to see that if you stick with it, you'll look back and you'll be like, wow, look what I've accomplished. So I was a forward thinker, right? Like a visualization of what does my future want to look like in a way? And not that the past doesn't come to haunt you, right? So you've got to be able to sort of balance the both. Like, what past stories are stopping you from moving forward into your future, which you mentioned earlier, and I think that's critical, right? And then not being stuck.
Right.
Not being stuck in the past, because we can do that. And a lot of people do. They have these past stories that continue to play out. And sometimes they'll play out in the subconscious mind, right? Where we sort of store and repress those memories, and then they keep getting played out. And we're like, wait, why is this happening over and over again? Even right. though I'm changing, but are you truly changing? So there's those core values that sort of, like I said, with the tower that you mentioned, sort of go away, disappear, right? And then you're like, holy shit, the whole tower has come down. Now what? Oh, well, right. Guess what? I wasn't as patient as maybe I'm more patient now. Maybe I learned how to be impatient and that was my problem and I didn't even realize it, you know, but it was playing out over and over again in some fashion, some way. Now I can learn to be patient because I understand what it's like when people are impatient with me, or I understand what it's like to go through something hard and I need people to give me that patience or whatever it is, right?
It's about allowing, you know, what do we mm-hmm. allow? You know, we talked about, permission, you know, permission mm-hmm. from other people, you know, what about giving permission to yourself, you know, everything that you hold inside, you know, the deep, tender emotions, you know, allow them to escape and align, you know, with your thoughts, you know, to create a phenomenal healing experience so that you can move forward, so that you can move on and do what you're supposed to do, you know. You know, as far as allowing, you know, just the freedom of it, letting things come in, you know.
Yes, give permission. I love that. Give permission to yourself.
You know,
I can practice that. You're talking to me right now, sister. I'm like, I don't need permission. And then I'm like, I'm telling myself that I don't need permission from myself. I'm like, no, I probably should give myself permission.
You need to give yourself permission.
Thank you. Yes, I will.
You know, self-compassion, self-love, self-worth, you know?
Yes, yes. And I think, like, particularly for me, and I think this is for a lot of women, permission to relax and rest and just enjoy life. Like, I am so, like, I'm not even going to lie to you, Jacqueline. It's been crazy. And I am like you said, that super human, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if that's a woman thing, man thing, a human thing, what it is, but it's like, I have to like go. And I have to do these big lofty things and I have to get it done. And if I don't get it done, and I'm like, okay, why are you so hard on yourself? Like, what are you doing? And for what were you, chill out, Natalie, like just chill out. But it does. It drives you to the ground, to sickness. which is then not good because we know our body and our vessel and our health is the most critical thing, you right. know? And I think it's the permission to take a time out. Like I did literally didn't do spirit and coffee for, I think, 3 days. And, you know, I was not feeling well. And I gave myself permission. It wasn't easy.
Right.
But, you know, I hear the universe talking to me, Jacqueline. I'm sure you hear God speaking through other people. Yeah. And like this, the same thing is said by everybody. Natalie, it's okay. Rest. And I'm like, really?
It's crazy that you see that, you know. Because we are seen as, you know, or feel like we have to be superhuman, you know, because we show others that we're great at everything, organizing, managing, coping, you know, saving the day, you know, and this is what we do as women. But it's like in the midst of being everything to everybody, you know, we sometimes have to recognize and acknowledge that we disregard our own boundaries.
Oh, God, for sure.
You know, we get tired and we become ineffective in thinking clearly. You know, we do make mistakes, sometimes going down the wrong path, you know, making a U-turn when we should have kept right or straight, you know. and then going that roundabout, you know, instead of putting off to the round, you know, off the roundabout. And then we beat ourselves up about stuff, you know, but we are human and we have to remain, you know, to remember that, you know.
What? I'm human? I thought I was an alien. I know. And it's hard because I think with, especially with spiritual people, I think sometimes we feel trapped by the body in some ways. Like that's, at least that's how I feel. I'm like, I know I could fly, but I can't fly, you know, and it's really frustrating. I know I can do this, but then it's like, no, your body's restricting you from this. So you've got to just like slow it down, girlfriend. Let's be realistic. And so I think that's smart goals, right? I think smart goals are a good way to go. Realistic, right? And measurable, you know, and then it's like, oh, the realistic part is where I get caught up. I'm like, you know, I want something that maybe is not as realistic. I mean, it could be in the future, but you've got to set the foundation first. It's like wanting it all at once or whatever. I mean, that's my mindset anyway. It's like too much all at once. And maybe I should just take a chill pill. Just relax for a little bit. And if you don't, as you know, and I know, your body will bring you to submission.
Yes, it will. It will. It will definitely do that and keep nudging you when you're supposed to be doing something, you know, and that nudge doesn't go away until you take action on it, until you actually make a decision to do what you're supposed to do.
I know. I've been in that state right now. So it's pretty interesting. And I think it's powerful that you, you know, that you wrote about it and that you have a book that, you know, sort of tells or teaches people how to move forward, how to allow yourself to, you know, pause, take a time out, reclaim your life and look at the future and let all this other shit kind of not let it go. I wouldn't say 100% let it go, but allow it to burn away. I mean, we do let it go, right? We let it go in various ways, but we burn it away too. Or we transform it or transmute it into something purposeful.
Yes, exactly.
Which is your book, right? And it's my, you guys, just so you know, it's My Pink Window, A Reflection of Self-Love and Acceptance by Jacqueline Noble Foster. That's a cool name.
Thank you.
Jacqueline Noble Foster. Sounds like an author, right? I mean, she is an author, but it just, the name just sounded like you'd be an author just with the name. Shalom. Speaking of flying, I fly in my dreams. This is what someone said on the podcast when I feel like I'm being attacked. Yeah. That's a dreams, big, huge shadow stuff that we can talk about on the podcast eventually. Anything else, Jacqueline, that you want to share?
I just want to say that, you know, my sense of survival, you know, was courage, which, I mean, that's a hard one as well, you know, and acceptance, you know, courage creates awareness, you know, and acceptance and choices. And, you know, it was my decision to just confront the unknown, like everyone, you know, confront the unknown, the uncertain, the unacquainted, you know, in order to move towards achieving clarity, you know, understanding and meeting of the other side of negativity, you know, things that you can't quite define, you know, and we all have them, you know.
I love that courage. Courage is important and being brave. And courage is, so in an alchemic world, again, courage is that divine will. It is fire energy, actually. It's working with fire energy, the courage. And oftentimes depicted by the lion, which is Leo, right? Leo, the lion, if you know this, if you're a Leo, that it's depicted in all the fire signs, Aries. You know, if you looked at all the fire signs, you would see that there's this divine will and courage. In tarot, the strength card is, there's a lion and there's a girl holding the lion's mouth open. And really what the lion represents is your divine will and your pride and ego and learning how to work with that. So you've got to be able to step through the unknown with courage and be courageous in order to overcome. Yeah. That is the process. You can't get anywhere without that courage. And it sometimes the courage is just, like you said, looking at yourself, right? Looking at those parts of you that don't serve you, are being able to set boundaries with those individuals who no longer serve your purpose or not on the same journey. And that's okay too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Acceptance is actually the main thing. You know, you have to embrace who you are. Well, first, you know, realize who you are, be comfortable with who you are. You know, acceptance is, you know, loving yourself, you know, holding it, you know, because you can't change what you can't accept.
Right. You know? Right. Absolutely. That's what they say in AA, right? You have to accept that you're an alcoholic before you can change it.
Along with that is self-worth, really, because a lot of us, many of us feel that we're not enough, and we are enough. You know, we're strong, we're beautiful, you know, and it's just a matter of transforming our mindsets and accepting where we are and, you know, right now. You know, never giving up when you can't see it, you know, and you're not going to always see everything, you know, but you still want to empower yourself and the person inside of you, you know, to keep moving forward, to look at those obstacles as opportunities and just keep going.
Yeah, it'd be like changing obstacles into opportunities, right? Like transforming obstacles into opportunities. An opportunity. There's I love it too. There's this meme, and the meme is like the best meme ever because I feel like it's me. This is what I've done my whole life. So it has the pessimist and the optimist, right? And it's like a half glass empty or half glass full, and then there's the opportunist who drinks the water. It's like. And I love that meme because it's kind of funny. Well, you know, the pessimists and the optimists were arguing about the cup. I drink it. I drink the water.
That's it.
Isn't that a good one? I always see that when I'm like, that's good. Because I was like, well, I'm an optimist, but really I'm an opportunist. And that's the beauty is that in every challenge we face, everything that comes along, there's always a silver lining and there's always an opportunity. And that's, I think people, they forget that, or they don't know it, or maybe they've never been taught, or maybe they've never really, they're so focused on their life falling apart that they forget that there's this opportunity in front of them. And in tarot, I keep bringing up tarot for some reason. I think it's calling to you. But I believe it's the Five of Cups where it's like that, right? It's like his head's down and there's a cup right in front of him and he can't even see it. It's kind of that thing, right? Where it's like this opportunity is right in front of you and you can't even see it. You're not looking at it. So it's the ability to look and say, oh, yeah, okay, there's opportunity here. Right. And seize the moment, right? Because, you know, when you're going through the mud, sometimes it's hard to see. It's like, well, where is it? Where can I feel for it? But it's there. It's always there. You know, and for you to be able to see that, you know, within your situation, everything that you've been through, that's amazing. It's amazing that you were able to pull out, like, well, what's the opportunity for me after all of this that I've gone through? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I extrapolate? How do I take out that and then really look at the opportunity available? Well, writing your book is an opportunity, right? That was an opportunity for you to say, hey, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to leave a legacy behind, or I'm going to be a life coach and help individuals. Do you want to talk a little bit about your life coaching? I don't know how much time you have left.
Sure. That's fine. Yes. I am an empowerment coach, women's empowerment coach, because the reason for writing the book actually who wants to move forward with their lives, you know, like I said earlier, pick up where they left off and just say, I came up with a title. I'm just going to go back. I came up with a title. Actually, the title came to me. It was sleeping. It came to me. And that name just came up. And it did not leave. And for 3 years, I talked about it. And it just kept nudging me until it was like, okay, I need to really do something with this name. I didn't know whether it was going to be a nonprofit, whether I was supposed to speak. I didn't exactly know what I was supposed to do with it. But it just came to me that I need to write a book for other women, you know, move forward. And my coaching has a signature, two signature principles. One is called PANE, which is Beyond the Pain. And Beyond the Pain is an 8-week group coaching. I love group coaching because it helps individually. You know, it helps people accountable, and it identifies a process of transformation, 4 phases that motivate you to move forward, deliberate decisions and actions. So when I say Beyond Pain, PANE is an acronym for a process, you know, shifting your mindset to really believe in yourself. The second phase is acceptance, accepting the skin you're in and who you really are. And N is just never giving up. And E is empowerment. So, and then my other signature program is Reveal, Regain, Reinvent. So it's like you want to fulfill your aspirations, you know, the things that you are really meant to do in this life, and be accountable for yourself. And regain yourself so that you can live on your terms, you know. Reveal your sense of self-worth, respect, self-confidence, self-compassion, and then reinvent yourself so that you can live on your terms, you know. One of the things we don't, I guess, give ourselves credit for is feeling good about ourselves. It feels good to feel good, you know.
So, yes.
That's one of the things when we reinvent ourselves, and I say reinvent because sometimes we stray away, we have to come back to ourselves. And that's what I talk about in my coaching. So those are two success programs that I capture and really, I will say, teach women to do, to be aware of, going beyond that window of opportunity, going beyond the strengths that you think you have, you know, just going beyond that negativity and just taking advantage And then reinventing and reinventing yourself for success.
I absolutely love it. I think it's beautiful. I think it's great. I think it's amazing what you're doing. I love that you're, you know, working with women, and that you are not only talking about it, but living it. And I think that's, for me, it's always been critical. And I even tell my listeners, like, don't just follow people. You know, really understand, are they living their what they're speaking? Because oftentimes you have this, it's out of integrity, right? But you're actually, this came from you living it, right? You went through it. You're going through it. This is what you practice in your life. And so you're saying, here's what I practice. This is my way. And here's the way this can support you. And everybody has a way. They have their own way. Like my way, different from Jacqueline's way. Your way, different from Jacqueline's way. Jacqueline's way, different from your way. However, we all sort of, you know, support each other in like digging deeper into the parts we can't see. This is why I love coaching. And this is why I have coaches. And this is why I do coaching, because there are parts of us that we can't see. Yes. There are blind spots that we can't see, and a coach can. So Tiger Woods has a coach, right? You know, if we looked at all the great people, they all had coaches. And it's because maybe their swing, you know, was off a little bit and he had to adjust it maybe 3 degrees or whatever it was. Sometimes that's what a coach does for us. Just tells us, oh, you're just 2 degrees away. You know, let's look at this. Let's see if you can do this. Practice that. And that's the beauty of coaching. It's an opportunity for them to see the blind spots that you can't, right? And have eyes where you may not. And then helps us to move forward, as you said before in your book, that it's about moving forward. And it helps us to get out of those sticky spots to actually move forward. And, you know, people living it. So this is not an individual who's just talking about it. This is something that Jacqueline lives, right? And I know because I'm in class with her. And we are doing our practices.
Coaches, you know, we're here to help. We're here to access that inner power, you know, to help you reach that power that's within and be aware of everything that you have inside. You know, so it's transforming that power, that inner power that you have, so that you can be bold, you know, and be yourself, you know, when you ask the question. And I do this often, you know, who are you? That's a hard question. People mm-hmm. don't know how to answer that question. You know, they say, well, I do this. They talk about their work. But who are you?
Yeah. That is the bigger question. When I did the transformation, I'm a life coach, an ontological life coach, and I did it through the Community Leadership Foundation, which we did a bunch of training, and the trainings, you know, that was the big question, who are you? And one of the most difficult things to answer. But then a reawakening to who you are every day, right? Because again, it's not rigid, right? It's just dynamic thing that changes all the time. And so it's like understanding that, you know, and realizing. And so it's pretty powerful stuff. And I love that, you know, that's the life coach model. Like, who are you? What is your purpose? How do you empower yourself to live your life's purpose and your dreams? You know, what's getting in the way of it? You know, all those powerful questions that don't get asked in our day-to-day life. But you know, that we're as coaches ourselves are asking our own self, right? It's not just a one way street. We don't just ask our coaches. We also ask ourselves, who am I? And that's reinvented over and over again.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't it just, and it's a beautiful process, right? So we know that we can't hold on to one thing, one way, you know, there's multiple ways.
And
that's what I love too about, you know, the spiritual alchemy piece as well, is that there's multiple ways. It's just alchemy is sort of this overarching way, but it's a process, and the process unfolds in so many ways, so many different ways. And there's not one right way. And again, what's right for you may not be right for me. What's right for Jacqueline may not be right for you, or, you know, vice versa, whatever, that we all have that individual way of doing things, but coaching really taps into that and helps you to really understand what is your way.
Right.
You know, like even us, right? Our practices are completely different. We have the same goal in mind. Our same goal is to empower people, right? But the way that we sort of construct it is different, right? We have our unique skills that we bring, which is beautiful. And that's what I love. I love that there's different points of view. Yeah. And that there's not just one, you know, like Natalie, like I always say, Natalie doesn't know anything. She just knows what she knows. And that's so tiny compared to what's available and the engagement of having other individuals come in and speak. So I am like super honored that you gave your insight because you have a different way of speaking about life too. And that's beautiful. What works, what you hear from me, may be different than what you hear from her, and it might land for you better, you know, or whatever it is.
Right.
And that's when you go around multiple people and share the wisdom, share the love. Even in coaching, right, Jacqueline, like sometimes, like I had different coaches and I'm like, wow, this person resonates with me a little better. Like, I feel like they get it, you know, and then some coaches I'm like, well, not so much or whatever. It's just different for everybody. But at the end of the day, that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you find the power within you and remember and wake up to who you are. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. So is there anything else you want to share? I don't know what your time looks like.
A few more minutes. You know, I just wanted to say that I appreciate you inviting me to come on your podcast. You talk about a lot of deep stuff, which is great. You know, it really gets you thinking. It really makes you more aware of your purpose and what this whole world is about. You know, whole universe is about that we are one. You know, we are the same. We come from one source. And, you know, it just reminds me of what the meaning of life really is, which in my book, it's about learning how to love. You know, it's not about me. You know, it's really about everyone else whose lives we touch, you know, and how we touch it, you know, and my thing and your thing is through coaching, you know. So you have to see life as it is and really get clear on what's important. And that's what this whole experience did for me. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, just do the exercise of like thinking at your last moments and then you'll see how would you live your life if it was your last moments, right? If you knew that you only had a limited time or you got news of something, you know, what would you be doing with your time? What would you be spending your time on? How would you be, who would be around you? What would you be telling those people with the things that you fought about, are they petty? Would they even matter? You know, what is it that you're holding grudges you're holding on to? Are you forgiving and letting go? Because, you know, at the end of the day, and I know this is your way of seeing it too, Jacqueline, at the end of the day, we're love.
Yes.
And when we get to, I feel like this is what I feel like when you get to that final moment, I feel like some people feel like, what the hell did I do with my time? I'm living in regret. And I think a lot of this happens with people who are very, very materialistic driven.
Yes.
They kind of go, wow, did I even spend time with these people? Or was I so busy, you know, worried about money and this and that and the other? Because we then at those last moments, we're not really remembering all of that. We're remembering the time we spent with people.
Right.
The individuals we care about, the people we love. You know, and then how did I tell them I love them? And that's one thing I do. I tell people I love them all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll meet someone and I'll be like, I just love you. I love you. And then I'll say, okay, bye, I love you. And I tell people I love them before. And I mean it. It's not this superficial love, but I really love people. And I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are. Like, there was this fear of saying I love you to people and for what? We don't know. I mean, I don't know what can happen tomorrow. Did I make sure I told people I loved them and that they knew that they mattered to me?
Right.
That's what's important. Like, these people matter to me. Even my podcast people, you guys matter to me like more than you could imagine. Like, I really love these people. They show up and I love them. I can feel the love for them. And, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what we end up, I think, dissolving into.
Right. You know, it's one thing to be your authentic self. You know, we hear that word all the time, but it's really true. You know, being yourself, you know, is really important. You know, that creates trust, you know, in other people, trusting in you, you know, but trusting in yourself that you can reveal yourself, you know, and be honest with yourself and be able to show, you know, who you really are, because that's what people connect with.
Yes.
And you have to think about what you do. I'm sorry. You have to think about what really makes you happy. You know, what really makes you happy? Because we all have money. We need money. Money, you know, we have to have money because we need things. You know, we have to eat. And, but money is used as a tool. You know, it's a tool to gain things, to get things. But it's a difference when you really have money and you're happy. That's rare, you know. So you really have to think about what you want to do, your purpose, because, and I'll say in the Bible, it says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, you do, you, you know, gifts, when you show your gifts, you live and use the talents that God has given you, you know, the money will come. So think about what you really, really want. That's going to make you happy and that's going to last. Money comes and goes.
That's right. It comes and goes in and out like water. It's just fluid like water. And then, you know, but the relationships that we build and that we foster are what matters most at the end of the day. And so how we spend our time and how people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Number one.
Exactly.
And number two, people don't remember what you buy them. They remember how you made them feel.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the truth, right? At the end of the day. So beautiful. So anything else? I mean, I just thank you so much for coming on, and I'm glad it all worked out. I'm glad we figured it out yesterday, because that was really important, critical piece that I get to add on when I'm having these interviews, is to be able to make sure everybody's set up properly before we start the podcast, because Natalie doesn't plan very well sometimes.
Thank you for having me on. I really do, for inviting me to come on your show, like I said earlier, and I really appreciate the listeners for hanging in there and listening to me talk about my book, and, you know, just trusting that that, and hoping that you've gotten something out of this interview, you know. So for everyone, you know, I just want to say, you know, enjoy the sweetness of life. My mother told me that all the time, so I'm telling you to enjoy the sweetness of life, because it's out there.
Oh, I love that. Yes. So that is your homework. I always tell them, here's your homework for the week. Enjoy the sweetness of life. That is what you get to do. And that is what I get to do. I'm going to enjoy the sweetness of life today. Trust me, as I eat my oatmeal with cinnamon. I'm like, I'm enjoying the sweetness of this oatmeal. Have a fabulous, thank you. Well, thank you. Like she said, thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there. Thank Jacqueline for showing up. Remember, her book is My Pink Window, A Reflection of Self-Love and Acceptance by Jacqueline Noble Foster. And you can purchase her book on Amazon. I did. And then also, she is a life coach. She is on my Facebook page. If you do Spirit and Coffee One, or you can go to spiritandcoffee.com, spiritandcoffee.com. You can find me on Facebook. Her information, is there. And I'll be posting more information about her book, and perhaps a link that you can purchase it if you want to purchase it as well. And then she can come on, and you're welcome to come on anytime. But with that being said, have a fantastic, funky, fun, freaky, phenomenal, fabulous Friday. I know I put the PH in there, even though it's phenomenal, but it still sounds like F, so I put it in there. Friday ever. And then I will be seeing you guys on Monday, because I'm feeling better. So hopefully pray for me that I stay feeling better and well and all that good stuff. And I will see you guys then. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.